You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Terry Jones is the Florida pastor who threatened to burn the Quran on September 11th. His threat became international news and even drew President Obama into the fray. That threat was later rescinded. At the same time, another related controversy arose, this time surrounding an Islamic community center. The community center is to be built near the site of the September 11th terrorist attacks. On September 11th, groups opposing the community center chanted, "No mosque here." Thousands of others supporting the construction of the community center held a separate rally. Harun Siddiqui is a journalist. He writes a regular column for the Toronto Star, and he's joined me by phone to discuss these controversies. Hello, Harun.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Great, thank you. As I said, Terry Jones is the Florida pastor who caused a lot of controversy with his threat to burn the Quran. What do you make of this case?
No, I think, it is what everyone else has seen it as, which is a marginal case, a nut bar who wants to do these things. And rightly so, he has been condemned by a lot of people, including, as you said, the President, Obama, and so on. But I think the larger context of that is generally missing in our public conversation, which is simply that he is the inevitable product of what the media have been doing for the last 9 years or so. So anything to demonize Islam and Muslims and to confuse the 19 murderers of 9/11 with all Muslims and laying collective guilt on Muslims, and in fact taking the most marginal voices, crazy voices from Islam and from the world of Islam, and putting them on our front pages, Reverend Jones is the inevitable outcome of that, you know? So, but in retrospect, given the fact that he was so extreme and so stupid, people, I think, have begun to realize that not only is he a marginal figure, but that we ourselves have not been balanced in the way we have approached this whole topic in the post 9/11 world. So in that sense, he has served a good purpose.
Can you elaborate a little on what you mean by taking the most marginal voices and presenting them as representative?
So you see, Hillary Clinton, if you recall, was saying to the fellow Americans and to the rest of the world, saying, look, Reverend Jones is an aberrational figure. He's not representative by any means of Americans. Of course, he's not. Welcome to the club, you know. I mean, that's exactly what the Muslims have been saying all along, that you take the most marginal figure, say, in Pakistan, who says the most crazy things, or some Arabs, some militant, and put it on our front pages for the last 9 years, which is what we have done, and make it sound as though those aberrational voices were somehow representative of all 1.3 billion Muslims. And that's what I mean, that we lost our perspective, and we were really, the media were being had, but being held hostage by extremists on both sides, extremists like Mr. Jones on this side and extremists like Bullah so-and-so or Osama bin Laden on the other, you know. And this kind of being held hostage plays out in different fashions, you know. What did Osama bin Laden say when launching his murderous attack on the United States? He said, the West is at war with Muslims. What does Terry Jones say? Terry Jones and his like say the same thing. The West is at war with Islam. Islam is a terrible thing. We need to be at war. So what we have is, and Terry Jones of this world don't even realize that they are echoing Osama bin Laden and all the other militants and so on. So we have this voice of two extremes dominating our media. And what this incident has made us do is to pause and think, say, look, this whole narrative is nonsensical, and we need to rethink how we approach the whole issue. That's what I mean by that.
Why do you suppose that here in the West we are seeing a ratcheting up of this kind of politics, this kind of distortion?
No, you see, I mean, this has gone in waves, mind you. I mean, if you remember right after 9/11, President Bush was very clear, saying this is not a war against Islam, this is not a war against Muslims, this is really a war against criminals and against terrorists and so on, which is fine. Except that a lot of neoconservative voices and a lot of evangelical voices in the United States said, no, no, this is really a war against Islam, this is really a war against all Muslims, they're taking us over. And there's a kind of Islamophobia and anti-Islamism that had taken hold, which again, you know, unfortunately had echoes of anti-Semitism. What is the sort of one staple of anti-Semitism? And in the old days, anti-Catholicism was, oh, Catholics are taking us over. Then it came to be Jews are taking us over. They're all over the place. They control the media. They do this, they do that. Now we are saying the same thing about Muslims. Oh, Muslims are coming. They are a demographic threat. They are going to take us over. Sharia is coming. And this is the kind of narrative and public debate that has gone on for quite some time. And now it has taken on a sort of a different hue at this time. And the different hue was we are going to burn the Quran and we are going to do these things, which has made us now think and pause that this is not the right way to go. All we are doing is we are playing in the hands of both extremists on both sides. That's what I mean by that.
It sounds as if you're saying that general opinion or general public opinion has kind of been hijacked by a more extremist opinion. How has that happened?
On both sides, absolutely, you know. But now there's a greater realization that the real battle is to make sure that the extremists on that side don't win and the extremists on this side don't win. And the ultimate battle really is not to be frightened, not to be afraid, not to lose confidence in our democracies and our secular system, not to compromise our principles on which our democratic societies are based. What are those principles? One of the principles really is that we ought not to be laying collective guilt on all people for the actions of the few. The second cardinal principle of democracy is that we respect all religions and so on and faiths, that people are free to practice their faith so long as they do so within the rule of law. Anyone who veers off from the law will have the book thrown at them. These are basic, simple principles that are forgotten. And this is what has happened in the controversy over the so-called Ground Zero Mosque. First of all, it is not a mosque. What is being proposed is a community center like a YMCA, in fact, which is modeled along the Jewish YMCA on 92nd Street in Manhattan. That's one. In the 12 or 13 stories that these people are planning, there will be proper space for Muslim prayers, and it will be open to all faiths and so on. So this is not a mosque, number one. Number two is, it is not at Ground Zero, as it is implied. It is two blocks north from where it would not even be visible to those who are at Ground Zero. And three, as Mayor Bloomberg said and as Obama has said, if we can build a church or if we can build a synagogue or if we can build a temple or a gurudwara or a jamaat khana anywhere close to that site, how can we say that nobody should build a mosque even if it was a mosque, which it isn't? So we are forgetting our own principles, our own democratic secular principles in all of this. And even if, and this is what Mayor Bloomberg said it so nicely, that even if it was right next to the Ground Zero site, so what? What is wrong with that? It will be a great symbol. It will be a great answer to the terrorists and to the extremists, saying in America, in the land of the free and the brave, anyone can practice religion. And this is our best answer to the Osama bin Ladens of this world. So the entire debate has been hijacked and distorted, but now, between this debate and what Terry Jones has done, a lot of people have had second thoughts, and that's why many people have drawn the line in the sand on this issue, saying there's no need to move this center or mosque anywhere else. Why should it be moved? You know, moving it means really giving in to the bigots. Moving it really means sacrificing our own basic sacred secular principles. Why should we do so?
So the whole Islamic Community Center issue is kind of indicative of how these distortions
have taken place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, and I'm not even making these points either as a Muslim, though I'm proud to be a Muslim, and I'm certainly not making on behalf of Muslims because I'm not their leader, nor do I claim to speak for anyone. I make these points in the name of our secular democracies because these are secular democratic principles that we need to uphold. Well, you know, I mean, we talk about distortions. This is, again, one of the other distortions that has taken place, that we are always playing on the grounds of the extremists by getting into theological debates and so on. These are not theological debates. It is not for a democratic society to engage in theological debates. Theological debates are for the faithful. Let the Christians debate their theology. Let the Jews debate their theology. Let the Muslims debate their theology, the right and wrong and extremists and non-extremists, conservative and orthodox and small and liberal and so on. Those matters are not for you and me and not for a secular state to dictate. Otherwise, there will be no point in saying people are religiously free and free to practice whatever faith they wish, so long as they do so within the rule of law. I mean, you live in BC, and we have had this case of the polygamist and so on. For too long, society said, well, it is their religion. No, if their religious practices go against the rule of law in Canada, we should be prosecuting them and taking them to court, which is what has transpired. It has had a hiccup, but that's fine. Those are the sort of rules of the game as we go through the courts and so on. So we ought not to play on somebody else's turf. We should be confident about our own secular democratic principles and stand by them.
What about here in Canada? Do you see any of the same distortions of Islam that have occurred in the United States?
Not to the same degree as in the United States, not to the same degree, but certainly we are not being immune to 9/11 excesses. What do I mean by that? I mean, we are familiar with the issue of Meher Arar, for example. I mean, he was tortured in Syria with Canadian complicity, which is why we have had to have a judicial probe into this, and Justice O'Connor then said he was wrongly accused of crimes that he did not commit, that he was tortured, which is why the government of Canada then had to apologize and pay him compensation, which is exactly the same case that has been happening with three other Arab Canadians who were also tortured in Syria, over which we have had another justice, Frank Iacobucci, look into it and come up with a report which says Canadian diplomats and Canadian officials unwittingly or otherwise were complicit in the torture. These are all post 9/11 excesses. At a more slightly more benign level, what have we had? We have had girls who wear the hijab. They have been banned in the name of safety from soccer and taekwondo tournaments in Quebec. We have had the Quebec government bow to bigots and introduce legislation that those who wear the niqab, even though they are full-fledged taxpayers, will be denied government services, including even health care. I mean, this is ridiculous. We have had this total hysteria in Ontario between 2006 and 2007 over the so-called Sharia debate. Sharia is coming. Sharia is coming. Sharia was not coming. What was requested was that since 1991 Arbitration Act, Muslims be allowed to have similar kinds of family and business arbitration exactly in the same way that the Jewish community and the Christian community have had. But the moment Muslims requested that, there was a hue and cry, and the government of Ontario was put so much on the defensive that the only way out that they found out of it is to cancel religious arbitration for everyone. I was agnostic on this issue, but we came to the right decision for all the wrong reasons. So your question was, have we had a brush with this kind of nonsense? Yes, we did, not to the same degree as in the United States, but we have not been immune from such stupidities.
You've mentioned that in the wake of these controversies, some people are having second thoughts about their attitudes to Islam. Is this the silver lining?
One hopes so. I mean, one hopes that we find that we don't go bonkers as we have been doing for quite some time, that we rediscover our confidence, that we are able to distinguish between extremists and terrorists as opposed to all Muslims and law-abiding people. I mean, look, it is in the ultimate interest of the Muslim community, both in Canada and the United States, that there be no terrorism, because they are the first victims of all of this, you know. And in fact, what is not realized is that Muslims have been the biggest victims of terrorism since 9/11. In most of the terrorist acts that have been taking place around the world, the highest number of victims have been Muslims rather than non-Muslims. So it is in their interest that terrorism end, and they would end it tomorrow if they could help it, you know. So this idea that they are somehow responsible, that they should somehow be constantly repentant about what happened in 9/11, that they are somehow collectively all guilty, is totally nonsensical. So back to your point, is this a silver lining? One hopes so, you know.
Thanks very much, Haroon, for giving us some context on this issue.
My pleasure. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
We've been speaking with Haroon Siddiqui. He is a columnist for the Toronto Star and editor emeritus of its editorial pages.